Xbox.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to Book Picks. This is one of my favorite segments of the week. I always look forward to this segment. I always learn new things. I get to talk to my friends, great, great booksellers who are in our region. We have wonderful, wonderful bookstores. We have wonderful, wonderful booksellers. And they have great ideas of things that perhaps you should be reading or would make good gift ideas or just things to put on your radar and for you to realize are out there, which I think is all very, very important. This morning, we welcome Jim Havener from Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. Just great.
It's good to see you as always. And James Conrad is here from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Always wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for doing this. It means the world to me. All right. James, let's begin with you.
Sure. Actually, Jim and I were just talking about there's a lot of new releases today, especially and this month. But I'm starting with one of my favorite authors, Brian Washington, Palaver. He's pulling together a really solid group of novels that have started with Lot, and it also includes Family Meal and a personal favorite of mine, which is Memorial. But his latest, Palaver, it sort of trips the narrative from Memorial, where Memorial was a search for a father, and now he's doing a sort of a search for a mother. And it's also a location swap between Texas and Japan. He sort of goes between those two locations in his life and also in his work. And so in Memorial, it was a black gay man and his Japanese partner, and they're a long-term couple whose relationship came to a bit of a standstill. And the Japanese mother comes to visit and informs her son that his father is dying back home in Japan. The son leaves and leaves the mother-in-law actually being the unlikely roommate with his black queer lover. And in Palaver, we suddenly now have a black gay man who has moved to Tokyo from Texas. And his mother unexpectedly goes to visit him after he calls her late one night, and she thinks he might be suicidal. And the mother is estranged from her son a bit because of differences with his sexuality and also kind of an obvious preference that she has for his brother, who has recently gone to prison. And so the most amazing thing about his books is the writing. And I just tell anybody who hasn't really read him before to just go to your local bookstore and just read the first three or four pages of any of his novels, and you're going to go right under his spell. And his books kind of, to me, read like one of those really great independent movies that wins tons of awards. And it doesn't seem like it has like a huge like plot or dramatic like sequence, but it's all the emotional impact that you're left with at the end of it. And lastly, I read an essay about Washington and his Japanese connection because I was curious about why he was so attached to Japan. And he said that as a young boy, growing up in a very homophobic society, he started to learn Japanese just as a way to be doing something that was totally out of the sync with everything around him. And then he ended up going to Japan to visit it, and he was really blown away by how less racist and homophobic he was treated there. And it was a culture that had a lot of respect, and it also sort of didn't seem to be so threatened by differences in life. And I know a lot of queer people can relate to that, and they go to countries or at least to just large urban areas to sort of free themselves of the judgments from their hometowns. And finally, the definition of palaver, the title of the book, means a long conference between two people or groups who don't share a language. And to me, that's a very meaningful way to summarize this book.
Beautiful. It's Palaver by Brian Washington. Excellent. Jim, over to you.
The book I'd like to talk about is What We Can Know. It's a novel by Ian McEwan, of course, who's the Man Booker Prize winner for Atonement. And it's a literary detective story, which I really, really love. And it starts out in 2014. There's a birthday party. This famous poet, Francis Blondy, is reading a poem that he's dedicated to his wife, a Corona. His wife Vivian, a Corona for Vivian, and much wine is drank and a lot of food's eaten, and it's a wonderful birthday party. And you can see the love between the poet and his wife. And then it skips to 2000. 21-119. A little over 100 years in the future.
All right.
And the Western world's been submerged by rising seas, followed by a catastrophic nuclear accident. And the south of England is flooded. And there's a man by Thomas Metcalf, a lonely scholar, and he's trying to find this poem. A copy of this poem is not available, and he's trying to find it. And as he researches about this poem, he starts to look back at about how halcyon the days were back in 2014, when life was good and this catastrophe isn't upon the earth and that. And so it kind of looks at both time periods back and forth, and what we perceive of what the past is like compared to what it is today. So it's a wonderful literary masterpiece, and I think McEwen might win a prize for this one. It's one of his better ones that I've seen for a long time.
One of my favorite authors. I haven't read the book yet. They turned me down for an interview, so I'm still a little bitter, but I'll get over it, and I want to read it. But it's just fantastic. He's a great, great writer.
He is.
And there's nothing about what you just said does not want me to read this. So that's fantastic.
I'm the same way. I'm loving McEwen. It's sitting right on my bedside table to read.
There you go.
If I read it, I would have brought it into Deuce
in the stack.
So good. The name of the book is What We Can Know, by Ian McEwen. James.
I'm doing another novel, Mercy by Joan Silber. This is her 10th novel, and I always feel like people still haven't quite discovered what an amazing writer Joan Silber is. And authors like Lori Moore and Sarah Waters are championing her all the time. And she's won excellent awards for her wonderful novel, Improvement. And the Washington Post actually called her America's Alice Munro, which I know can be a little problematic for some people now. But the comparison is actually very, like, right on in terms of their writing styles. Like Munro, Silber novels work in a way where they weave together chapters as stories to create a whole. And the chapters can even sort of stand alone as stories. And then as it goes through, you get to the end and it feels like all the parts come together to create the whole. Improvement being my favorite novels of hers, but Mercy works in the same way with its structure of moving between different points of view of characters from chapters to chapter. And they initially might not seem like they have the same story in common, but then it ends up all coming together. And in Mercy, it's set in the 1970s at the beginning, where two young men who are taking a lot of drugs have a bad thing happen, and then another two women have something else happen, and they all come together in St. Vincent's Hospital in Greenwich Village. And that propels the book forward to this sort of interweaving of the stories. And the questions the book asks is, what truly is compassion and what is mercy? And it's a short book, which I really like too, because sometimes I find less is a lot more, like the novellas of Claire Keegan, for example. And I'm trying to get Silver into the hands of more readers, so I picked Mercy as our store's November book club. And we're going to meet at the new Woodstock Library, which is finally opening, later this month, Saturday, November 22nd. And get a hold of the store if you'd like to be a part of our email list for the book club.
Mercy by Joan Silber. Excellent. All right, Jim.
My next one is The Loneliness of Sonia and Sonny by Karen Desai. She's another Booker Prize winner, and she wrote 20 years ago, The Inheritance of Loss. This is a love story that covers two people who meet each other on a train and are embarrassed because several years before that, their grandparents tried to set them up in an arranged marriage.
Mm.
And Sonia, an aspiring novelist, she comes to Vermont and she studies, and she's decided to return to her family in India. And she kind of fears about going back there because she has really enjoyed herself here and has grown intellectually very, very much so here in the States. And Sonny, he's a struggling journalist in New York City, and they meet each other there. And it's a wonderful, wonderful saga that goes between America and India. It's a love story, and that they truly find that there is a love between them. They're trying to navigate the world it is today. And it's also, too, a very rich novel of ideas of relationships and marriages and India, the United States. I predict next Monday this is going to win the Booker Prize.
You do? I have one on my list that I think is going to win.
Well,
okay. All right, we're going to duel it out here. All
Look
right.
at that. The loneliness of Sonia and Sonny. And all right.
Actually, I sort of think you're going to win. But anyways, I'll skip ahead to do mine then, just because it's
okay,
tied to
good.
It.
Okay, go for it.
Audition by Katie Kitamura.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I went way back to the spring on Book Picks, and I can't believe nobody did this book because it sold really well, and it had an excellent word of mouth, and I don't know where people were hearing about it. But so finally, we did it for our book club. And when we did it for our book club, I actually kind of realized why it probably hasn't been like it done on Book Picks or things like that, because half the people in my book club hated it and the other half loved it. No, it was literally, there was like a wall down the room, and like it was just like, and we had a really great discussion.
That's usual book club.
Yeah, we were able to actually have a really great discussion about it. You know.
Oh, good. More division in the country.
I know, right? Anyways, let me just sort of tell you why I think it has that problem to it. But let's see. It's basically about a, wait, I lost my place. It's about a famous theater actress in New York. And she meets this very good-looking young man, and it starts off with them just having dinner together, and he claims to be her son. And the problem is she's never birthed a child in her life, so this is completely impossible. She ends up getting him a job at the theater where she's about to put on a new play as an assistant to the director. And, you know, they stay in touch, and they're getting to know each other's lives a bit more, and her husband and all that. And there's this underlying sense of like, well, is he or isn't he her son? Like, what's the deal here? And then meanwhile, she's getting panicked because the play she's going to put on is like having trouble. And she's having trouble getting into the role of the main actress, and she's the main character. And she's realizing that it all hinges on her to be able to actually like pull this thing off. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, right before it's going to like open, part one ends. Then part two starts, and I won't give anything really away, but the whole story gets turned on its head in this way, where I had friends just texting me saying, I threw the book across the room because I don't know what's happening. It's so odd and so weird, and I was following this very linear story, and now I don't know what's going on. And it's a short book, so I really suggest you keep with it, and she's a great writer. And so it's about roles you have to play in life and how you have to like play roles to get through life, but she's just a very big, crazy writer, but I think she's gonna win the Booker.
All right, we're down.
We'll see.
Okay, dinner's on me. All right, okay.
I do want to read that book.
Audition by Katie Kitamura. All right.
So, talking about odd and weird, I brought Thomas Pynchon's new book, Shadow Ticket.
Bless you.
Okay. And I absolutely love him, and I forgot how much I loved him until I read this book. And I needed this book at this particular time in our lives. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's screwball comedy, and it even has one of his wonderful names for characters. Like the main character is Hicks McTaggart. I love how he grabs different names in that. Pynchon is 88 years old. This might be the last one, but this book is in Milwaukee in 1932. So the Depression, Al Capone's in jail. He was a strike breaker, and he's turned into a private eye. And he's supposed to find this heiress to this cheese fortune. this is Pynchon at his most. So the cheese fortune, he's shanghaied into a transoceanic liner, and he goes to all places as Hungary, a place that doesn't have any shoreline and a language from another planet. And McTaggart tries to find the heiress who's lost somewhere in Hungary. It deals with he gets entangled with the Nazis and the Soviet agents, British counter-espionage spies, swing musicians, and practitioners of the paranormal, outlaw motorists. It's everything that you ever seen in Pynchon. And if you want a good laugh, if you want to escape, get this book and read it well.
Shadow Ticket, that one is on, that is the next book I'll be reading. I started it and I loved it, and I wanted to put it aside, so I had full time for it, but it's really looks great. Shadow Ticket, Thomas Pynchon.
So you guys are gonna hate me, but I've never been able to read Pynchon, and I started to read that and I remembered why. I still can't read them. I don't know why.
It's
Midwestern. I'm from the Midwest, so I was like, yes. Oh, this will be the pinch
and
I'll read.
Well, I am too, and this is what I started reading in high school.
I guess I have to get the voice right in my head or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's just
sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
I
it's not
have
the
a whole
author
list.
For me.
Yeah.
Anyways, but
and I'll admit, even with that, like when you take it on, I'm still like. Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's
you
know. a lot of big language. It's
right. like, all right, here we go.
Strap in for the ride, right?
Shadow Ticket by Thomas Pynchon. Next.
Okay, let's go off the novels for a while. I'm going to go for a film book. There were a lot of great film books this year. One of my favorites was Ready for My Close-Up, The Making of Sunset Boulevard and the Dark Side of the Hollywood Dream by David M. Lubin. It's the 75th anniversary of Sunset Boulevard. And this terrific history of the film really cements it as one of the most important Hollywood movies about Hollywood, especially the dark side of Hollywood. And the first half of it is all the stories of all the individual creators and performers. It gives, like, all their full bios and really amazing stuff, like Billy Wilder fleeing from the Nazis to come to Hollywood, unable to speak English. Gloria Swanson, who's long retired from acting and film, but she'd had no issue taking on this character, which could have easily have been, like, making fun of herself. And then William Holden, who is this unrealized star at the time. He just hadn't had his potential filled. So he plays a screenwriter who doesn't have his potential filled. And a ton of others. The story we all know, Norma Desmond, famous silent screen actress, whose career ended with Sound and stays locked in her Hollywood past of glitz and glamour and gets involved with a desperate young screenwriter. And she tries to finish her dream script with him to have a triumphant return. So it's old Hollywood versus new. And no other film at this time had ever really taken that subject on, and especially in such a dark way. And the sets, designs, and cinematography work to compare and contrast Desmond's classic white elephant of a house to the present-day 1950s Los Angeles sort of banal apartments. Just a quick anecdote. When Wilder first came to Hollywood as a lowly assistant, he went to a famous producer's party, and somebody offered him $20 to jump in the pool fully clothed. And apparently he did it. And that is, of course, the famous opening scene of Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
And so things like that just make this book so, so great, because it's like it all just sort of ties together. It's like, you know, how all those scenes just came out of real life almost. And finally, just make sure you either watch the movie before you read the book or rewatch it by the middle of it, because they do a scene-by-scene breakdown of the whole movie. And if you've just seen it recently, it really adds to the whole thing. So it's a great book.
Ready for My Close-Up is the name of the book by David Lubin. All right.
So my next book is Pride and Pleasure, The Schuyler Sisters in the Age of the Revolution by Amanda Vail. We're coming up on the 250th anniversary. A lot of books are coming out on the revolution. I've got probably 10 books in the store that have George Washington on his charger on the cover. But this is something very, very different. And it's local history here to us. It's a story about Angelica and Elizabeth Schuyler, who are part of the daughters of the Schuyler clan. And they're fabulously wealthy. Since they were taking probably money from the tenant farmers and the Catskills, right? And Angelica is gorgeous. She loves attachments to powerful men. She elopes with a war profiteer and goes to London, and she leads a luxurious life, and she charms Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and even the Prince of Wales himself. Eliza, who's a little bit shyer, becomes the wife of Alexander Hamilton. And she becomes the wife of Alexander Hamilton when he's not really known. And he, of course, becomes our first Treasury Secretary and becomes quite well known. But it's really good archival research. It reads like a novel. But it talks about the revolution from a woman's point of view of how they were involved in this. And these women are very, very different than what you would the common impression of women in the 18th century. It's a good narrative, and it really kind of has a feeling of a 19th century novel. So for you history buffs, you want to get away from George, Pride and Pleasure, The Schuyler Sisters in the Age of the Revolution.
By Amanda Vail. All right.
I like George. Don't get me wrong.
James.
My next one is Night People, How to Be a DJ in 90s New York City by Mark Ronson. Most of us know Mark Ronson, being the 10-time Grammy-winning songwriter and musician and music producer. He produced Amy Winehouse's Back to Black and the Barbie soundtrack. And, of course, he won an Oscar for Shallow, which he wrote for Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born. But his first career, starting in his adolescence, was in the 1990s in New York City, where he pursued his true love, which is DJing. And in Night People, he recounts sort of the wild ride of that decade, where he literally had to drag around 100 pounds of boxes of vinyl to these small clubs and larger clubs to basically work for very low money and to be out all night doing all this stuff. And all for the hope that someday he might become at like one of the top DJs that would work clubs like Area or Club USA or Limelight. And he was a bit of a nepo baby. His mother was married to Nick Jones from Foreigner. And his first gig actually was at an adolescent playing music for their reception at their wedding. He dabbles in drug use, but thankfully doesn't avoid anything that's too debilitating. And he also gets into some controversies, like white male DJs of that time appropriating black music for white audiences. And he also goes into the whole Giuliani thing of cleaning up the areas where the clubs were and how he kind of ruined nightlife in New York City. I tend to have a problem with people who are still kind of young writing memoirs, but this book is just really focused on that one decade of time in the 90s and his career as a DJ, and it's very interesting and a lot of fun. So check out Night People.
Night People, How to Be a DJ in 90s at New York City by Mark Ronson. All right. Jim, you're up.
My last one is a book I've been waiting for a year, over a year since I heard it was coming out, is Margaret Atwood. A Book of Lives, a Memoir of Sorts. Of course, we all know Margaret and enjoyed her writing for many, many years. But this book feels like you're sitting across the table from her and she's talking to you. She's an incredible woman. I didn't really know anything about her personal life up until this point. She grew up kind of in northern Canada. Her father was an entomologist, I believe, and her mom was, I believe, a social worker. And they moved around a lot, so it was a nomadic childhood. It talks about key moments in her life. But what's really wonderful about this memoir, about her life and how it interacts with her writing. And it's interwoven between her life and how she wrote. And, you know, for example, her book Cat's Eye, which I read many years ago, it deals with a cruel school year that she had. And then when she went on to Berlin in the 1980s, that's where she came up with the idea for The Handmaid's Tale and The Wall. So anyway, it's a wonderful book. It's thick. It's full of stuff. And I think it's probably one of the best memoirs I've read for a long time.
I agree with you. It was absolutely terrific. You were saying sitting across the table from her. I did just that. Last month, and I sat down and talked to her. Someone has the tape. And as soon as we there's some licensing issues.
Because I missed going to it. I really wanted to go to it. And
some
friends of mine went and loved it.
As soon as we figure out there's just stuff involved. Nothing having to do with her, but just there's stuff involved. And once they release the interview, I will put it out into the world.
Oh, please do.
What a pleasure to read about her. And the book is just hilariously funny.
Yes.
She is just amazing. Yeah. Really, really cool. The new book from Margaret Atwood is called Book of Lives and is just out today. So good stuff. We have 20 seconds for you to tell us
about
it. I
can do a quick plug. Yes. We have an event coming up with Susan Minot in conversation with Griffin Dunn this Saturday. Let me get the exact date in front of me. It is Saturday.
November 18th.
Yes.
November 8th.
At 4 o'clock at the Clannard James Gallery right across from our store. She has a paperback version of her new book, Don't Be a Stranger, that just came out. Come to see it. It's free.
You're all great. Thank you very much.
Thank
WMC.org/roundtable for all the book picks. We'll be back.